Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with hosts Phil Huff and Julie Calamine.
Well, hi, Phil. How have you been for the last week?
I missed you. Welcome back, Julie.
Oh, thank you. I missed you, too. I've missed The Morning Show.
Yeah. Well, you can listen to the podcast. I had to put it up without your help.
Oh, boy. How did that
go? I managed to figure it out by Friday.
Oh, very good.
It only took an extra couple days.
Well, for those of you who don't know, I've been off backpacking in Yosemite, and I did have a wonderful time, but it's very snowy there still. Snowy. Passes were full of snow.
Record year in the California Sierras for snow.
Mm-hmm. We were swimming in lakes that had ice and snow right up against the banks. Oh, my, that was chilly.
Well, it cooled down here on Sunday. Storms blew through, and it made a nice, cool reception for the festival. I think for the first time in years, it was long pants and long shirts for the final act of the symphony.
I received texts from friends who were at the event last night before last, and it sounded like it was a great ending to the festival. I'm sorry I missed it.
Yes, as always. But today, we have an exciting show. Julie, why don't you introduce the topic and our guests?
I sure will. Well, this morning we're going to be, we are joined by Bob Howard. He's the Bonner County Director of Solid Waste, and he's going to be talking to us about, among other things, the new single stream recycling center at the corner of Dufort and Highway 95 in Bonner County. Good morning, Bob Howard.
Good morning.
So good to have you here.
Thank you.
And we've got plenty of information to talk about in terms of recycling and solid waste and just waste in general. And some folks might think, well, that's not the most interesting topic, but it really is, isn't it, Phil?
It is. It's going to be a really interesting show. I've been talking to a lot of people who are not quite sure what to do. They don't really want to admit it, so they're tuning in. I think our if we could measure the ratings for our show, they'll probably spike today.
I think so. So we've got lots to talk about on this topic, but Bob, let's start by having you tell us just a little bit about yourself, your history, how you came to be doing this work, how long you've been doing it, et cetera.
Well, I've been with Bonner County going on 30 years. The majority of my time was with law enforcement. I've also been the director of 911, EMS, and I'm currently the director of emergency management since 2000. And I came to be the director of solid waste in March this year. Due to some reorganization within the county.
So you wear two hats, it sounds like.
Yes.
Yeah, that's plenty to do.
So is one of those recycled?
One is a recycled hat, I hope not. And what sort of background do you have that allows you to do that sort of work? You said law enforcement, and you just started in there and worked your way up into the county administration?
Well, during my time as the director of emergency management in the last several years, I was actually the deputy director for the public works director, who actually was responsible for the solid waste program. Huh. So I had the experience as their support.
Sure. And are you a lifelong Sandpoint person or no?
Born in Sandpoint, raised in Priest River.
Oh, good. So you really have the background to live and work here.
And so it sounds like it falls under the same general umbrella of the Public Works Division or department.
Yes, it does.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. Well, why don't you let's move on and talk a little bit about what waste management has looked like over the many, many years that you've worked in the Sandpoint community. How did it start out? What's it like today?
Well, 25 years ago, the county had three landfills throughout the county, and testing and regulations were making it very difficult and not cost-effective to the county. So the county chose to close the landfills and subcontract their trash hauling to third-party contractors.
Okay, so what went in those landfills back in those days? Just whatever?
Everything.
Everything and anything? You just came, you showed up with your truck and threw whatever you wanted right in there.
As far as I know, yes.
Mm-hmm. So there's no separation. Similar to the single stream concept we'll talk about here in a bit for recycling, it sounded like it was single stream disposal.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you just dug a bit. The landfill was just a big old pit, no liner or anything like that? Or
not that I'm aware of. You just dug a hole and you buried your trash.
And that wasn't uncommon, though. That's sort of the way trash was done.
That's correct. It's still done that way in other parts of other counties and states.
Mm-hmm. Well, and at some point, the county went to collecting things at a transfer station and taking garbage off to a landfill elsewhere.
Yeah. Correct. And how long ago was that? How many years have we been doing that?
Well, it's about 25 years ago because that's when we closed the landfills and we had a contract. Well, we've been contracting with Waste Management of Idaho to collect the trash, and we take it to Colburn to a transfer facility where it's loaded into trucks, transported over the highway to Columbia Ridge, Oregon, to the Waste Management landfill.
Okay, and that must be a huge landfill.
I've never been there, but it has to be huge.
Yeah, so that's where waste is collected and goes from all over the place. So our waste station goes and then off to there.
And so the other transfer stations or collection locations, Dufert Road and Sagal, does that first go to Colburn and then go to the Columbia, or does that go directly to the Columbia?
No, everything, we have 11 transfer sites throughout the county, and everything goes to Colburn first, where it's loaded in the over the road trucks, and then it's transported to Columbia Ridge.
Okay.
That sounds, and we'll get into the economics of all of this, but just at first blush, that sounds like a costly way to handle waste management.
It's expensive.
Sure. Yeah, to have to transfer it far, far away. But
and I know several years ago, I can't remember exactly how many, but I'm going to estimate and say it was 5 or 6, maybe 7 years ago, there was some recycling of glass that was being done, but then there was no end use for the product, and the product ended up going to the same through the same process. So it wasn't really being recycled.
Correct.
And is that still the case? Is there still not really enough demand for recycled glass, or how does that work?
Well, the glass currently goes into the single stream recycle with the rest of the recyclable items. Mm-hmm. And it's taken to the Smart Center in Spokane by Waste Management, and it's automatically separated. And then Waste Management takes care of it from there and goes to the appropriate locations.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, that's moving us a little bit into the new facility, so I think everyone's interested in knowing more about it. Why don't we move on and talk about the new Dufert single stream recycling facility, because I live south of there and I've been watching it being constructed for the last, what, year and a half, something like that, 2 years?
They started last fall.
Okay.
So mm-hmm.
I've been talking about it, but then just got going on it last fall. So how did it come about that you all decided you wanted to, we would move to this sort of recycling in here in Bonner County?
Well, when I took over the solid waste director position, the Dufert transfer site was, the new one was still under construction. So at that time we had discussion with the county commissioners. The county commissioners, they want us to look at the idea of single stream recycle for the county. And so we decided to make the new Dufert transfer site a pilot project to see what the public interest would be, to see what kind of response that we would get from the public for that type of a program.
So right now the program's limited to the Dufert location.
That's correct.
But it's accessible or available to anyone in the county who's got the sticker.
That is correct. And, you know, the public does not need a sticker to recycle. So you can go in there and dump your recycle with no sticker.
Okay. Ah, good to know. And prior to the new single stream, we weren't recycling as much, were we? How was it before?
Before we had different dumpsters, so you'd separate your paper, newspaper, your magazines, your aluminum cans, and your cardboard. And all those items were taken to Pacific Hyde or Pacific and Recycling in Ponderay.
Ah.
And right now, we have a larger roll-off that we want cardboard to go into, separate from the smaller single-stream bins, because we still take the cardboard to Ponderay to Pacific.
And they recycle it there.
Yeah. It's more cost-effective for us to do that.
Makes sense. So single-stream is doing a couple of things. It's making it easier for us to recycle, and it's also allowing us to recycle more. Tell us more about that.
So single stream recycle, of course, you can recycle clean paper, cardboard, glass bottles, jars, clean metal and foil and plastic containers. So it all goes into one container and is transported out of our county and reused by other manufacturers.
So I have a few questions on the details and the mechanics of that. But before we get into that, the big picture, if there was an estimate before the beginning of the single stream here as to how much the previous program, separating out the newspaper and cardboard and plastic from the rest of the waste, what percentage was diverted to recycling roughly?
So you,
was it a significant amount or a small amount? Or
it was a small amount, because people, of course, it's more time consuming to separate your recycle right. and put it in different bins. And so people didn't participate as much in that program.
Right. And so are there goals focused around either volume or number of visits or reducing the amount that's in the regular waste haul to the landfill?
Yes, that's our goal. That's what the pilot project's about, is to measure. We should receive a reduced amount of tonnage that goes to the landfill and increase the amount of single stream recycle. So we're putting less trash in the landfill.
It sounds like a lot of things that go in. I know when we started doing this at home a couple weeks ago, and not being as used to doing this, I'd look at it kind of puzzled. Can I put the cat food cans in there if they're cleaned out? And
yes.
My wife said yes. And the lids too, because I've always been used to, no, you can't put the lids of cans. You can put the lids of cans in. Tell us about some of the things that people can put in that they might not expect that they can.
Just plastics, you know, your tin foils, milk jugs, your wine bottles, your beer cans, pop cans.
Now, the plastic milk jugs can go in. We were having this conversation last night over dinner, but the cardboard milk jugs that have the wax lining can't because of the wax lining.
Correct. And also the lids for your milk jugs. We don't want the lids because the lids is a harder plastic and they don't want that.
Okay. So,
and you cannot put any trash bags in there. So if you have a trash bag full of recycle, you have to empty the trash bag into the bin and then throw the trash bag in the dumpster.
So is there a list or a website where people can go to for a list in case they're not furiously taking notes while we're talking?
You can go to bonnercounty.us to the solid waste website, and it's on there. And the site attendant also has a handout that they will hand you if you ask for it, and it gives you instructions on what you can and cannot recycle.
So I was cleaning out my office at home over the weekend. I know this was exciting. That's why we didn't talk much about my weekend. But I'm sitting there. I now have two big bins of trash and recycling from the office and stuff. My wife was encouraging me to recycle. I hadn't thought of before because a lot of paper products can go in. But as I'm doing this, there's some old credit card statements that I don't want to just throw in. So those should probably be shredded.
You can shred those and put them in the recycle if you choose to do so.
So that's the question is, after you've shredded, even those little bits of paper can go in.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm curious about how clean my recycling needs to be. Do I need to rinse everything, or how do you want that?
Yes. Rinse it out. Take any residue out if at all possible. It just makes it a cleaner recycle program that way.
Sure. And so earlier you were saying that your goal is to reduce the amount of waste that goes into the landfill, and that's for a number of reasons, environmental, but it costs the county also, doesn't it?
Yes, currently the pilot project that we're working on right now, I estimate it will cost $24,000 a year, and that's from the time you put it in the container until it goes to the smart center in Spokane.
Are there savings associated with it, though? Is there money coming back from recycling the product?
No, Bonner County does not receive any money back. Mm-hmm. We do receive a small amount from the cardboard we take to Pacific, but it's just a really small amount. The metal that we collect, like the appliances and things like that we stockpile at our three different sites in the county, we do receive money from that. So we receive $87 a ton. So my goal is to take that money from the recycle, from the metal, and offset the cost for the single stream recycle. Mm-hmm.
But to Phil and me before the show started, you mentioned that there's a cost to bring garbage to the landfill. And by reducing that cost, there could be some savings. What is that? How expensive is that for the county?
So we pay $65 a ton for our trash to be picked up and managed and transported to the landfill in Columbia Ridge, Oregon.
So by reducing the amount going there, we might see some increased savings.
Correct.
65 a ton to take it to a landfill, and how much to take it to the recycling center?
Well, we're still measuring that tonnage because recycle doesn't have the weight that trash does. So we're still working on that.
So this is why it's a pilot project.
It's an analysis process to figure out what the cost benefit is.
Yeah. And of course, as we're looking at the cost benefit, it's really easy to hone in on the cost and just look at the economics. But of course, there's a larger benefit for society, for us all too. You know, the way that we produce garbage at home and trash and other things, we feel better about putting stuff into a recycling stream. But that I think comes to the question that is on a lot of people's minds. And, after it leaves here, after it goes to the recycling center, what's the end use for some of the products? Have you had the opportunity to push it out that far and look at that?
I have not had that opportunity in the short time I've been doing this job. So waste management, they recycle. They have one of the largest companies around for recycle and waste management. So they have processes and places that they take all of the recycle.
And I would guess that they wouldn't take it if they couldn't find a use for it and make at least a little money on it.
That's correct.
Now, for those of you who are just joining us, this is the KRFY Tuesday Morning Show, 88.5, with Julie Calamine and Phil Huff. And if you didn't hear us from the beginning, we're being joined by Bob Howard, and he is Bonner County's Director of Solid Waste. If you aren't able to hear the entire program this morning, we will be uploading a podcast to the website later. That's at krfy.org.
We won't be recycling, but we will be reusing the information here.
Very much so.
So you don't have to furiously take notes. We're going to try to cover all of the questions, but if you miss something, you can go to the podcast. And if you'd like to text in a question, if you have a technical question here and you'd like an answer to it, you can send me a text at 208-946-9127.
And we will do our best to answer, pose the question and get it answered. That's correct.
So I have a couple more technical questions of my own. We're still learning. So let's say we're at home and we happen to throw out that wax-covered milk carton into the recycling bin. Does it cause the gears to grind to a halt, or does someone pick it out, or does it just, it's dealt with by the recycling people later on downstream?
That's correct. The Smart Center is an automated system that separates the recycle, and it'll separate the non-recyclables also, and they'll just put it aside and dispose of it.
Do you know much about that machine or whatever that system is like? Can you tell us sort of how that all works? I mean, I look in my bin when I'm going to go dump in that dumpster, and I think, how can it figure it out? How does it do it?
I do not have that answer. I have not had the opportunity to go tour the center yet. Waste management said that they would make that available to us so we can see how that process works.
Yeah, but down the road.
I think that'd be fascinating. I think that'd be tough radio. We'd need video.
Yes, but, true. But, yeah, but it has to be pretty complex to figure out how to keep a piece of paper, you know, separate paper from glass, from steel cans and all that, and have it work out without someone standing there doing it.
I pictured a summer job for a lot of teenagers, but it's way more complex than that.
That's right.
So a listener has just texted in a question. Probably a good one as we're talking about how to get this pilot project really up and running. How are they advertising the program? Flyers and utility bills, perhaps to encourage people, something to post on the fridge. Any thoughts there? How are you getting word out besides KRFY, which will get it to most of the county immediately?
Of course.
So in the beginning, before we opened the transfer site, we did a press release in the newspaper, a joint press release with Waste Management in Bonner County. And, you know, it's on our website. And it's also, again, we hand out the flyers at other sites to inform people about the solid waste recycle program.
Oh, very good. You know, I do use the Dufresne site. That's closest to me. And I've got to give a shout out to Rusty and Linda, who are the workers I run into there most often, because they've been excellent about both handing out flyers and answering any questions that we have when I come in. So if you are a little confused about what can and what can't go here or there, those guys are really good. I have to say they've done a great job, and they're very patient with us all.
Thank you.
Yeah, they have been over the years. We've gone to separate things out. They've been wonderful. Now, I haven't gone since we've had single stream others in our household have taken care of that.
The cats take your recycling in,
Phil? No, the cats don't do recycling. but it sounds way less complex now. It sounds like you just take it all and drop it off.
That's pretty much it, I think.
Yep. I do have a fondness for the so-called, for people who are new, there's a feature at the Duford site called the Duford Mall, which is more about repurposing things that might no longer have value to you, but you can leave or you can peruse through. And I have found some interesting items there over the years. It's a great place for oddball stuff that might have no purpose for someone else. And yet is too nice to put into the trash system. Mm-hmm. The Duford Mall is still there.
Yes, and each one of our sites has their own, what we call it, free pile, actually. Mm-hmm. That's what the nickname is for it. But each site has that. So residents have the opportunity to put reusable items on that at that location so someone else can pick it up and use it. So rather than throwing in the trash.
Mm-hmm. And how does it work? Do they clear it out daily, or do they leave the good stuff if it just hasn't been selected? How do they work with that?
Typically, they go through and the site attendant will look at it and see what's actually reusable. And if it's not, then they will discard it. And usually at 3:00 in the afternoon, they go through and kind of clean it off and get ready for the next day.
Sure. I have a couple of stories about the Duford Mall that I must talk about because everyone who listens knows that I'm relatively new to the area. And I first arrived and didn't really know anybody. And I went over and had to ask, what is this little mall? Because there's a sign up there, Duford Mall. And so, again, Rusty explained to me what it was all about. And I was standing there, you know, milling around looking at what was on the Duford Mall. And I met one of my very first friends there. She invited me to go raspberry picking. So not only is it great for trash and environment, a good way to reuse things and not waste things, but it's a great social setting. It really is. And I have to tell you, I have to tell everyone over the air, the funniest thing I ever saw at the Duford Mall, and this was 2 summers ago. I came in to, you know, of course, drop off my own trash and no trip to the transfer station is complete without a trip to the mall. And I ran over to the Duford Mall, and what was in there? In a big bird cage, 3 roosters. That's a new one.
Wow.
Have you ever seen live animals at the Duford Mall?
I have not.
Well, it's happened. And I think Linda found homes for them. So yay, Linda. Anyway.
It's definitely a social occasion.
It's a great element of our county, and I don't think it would be the same without it, so I appreciate it.
Things don't last there long.
Oh, no.
I've had the occasion to make a couple multiple trips to the Duford site in one day, and stuff that was there in the morning is not there in the afternoon.
It's very true. Well, moving back to our main topic, which is the single-stream recycling at Duford Mall, something I'm curious about is, is this the state-of-the-art recycling today? Are we kind of at the top of the technology today?
It's not state-of-the-art. The state-of-the-art process would be quite expensive and something that right now I don't believe Bonner County can afford. Once we can, you know, get through 1 year of this analysis to try to determine where we can go from here to improve the program, I think we'll have a better idea.
Sure, but it's a very big improvement over previous.
Absolutely.
Previous uses. And something else I'm curious about is, how does our county recycling and waste management compare to the city of Sandpoint? Is it quite different?
The only difference is the city of Sandpoint has curb pickup, but it's all taken care of by Waste Management of Idaho.
Now, does the city take it also to the Colburn site, or does it?
Everything goes to the Colburn site. Yeah. Recycle is loaded into a different truck than the trash taken to Spokane.
Mm-hmm. So it all mixes into the stream.
Correct.
Sure. And what about payment? When I lived in Minneapolis area, of course, I had curbside pickup, but I paid for that every 3 months or so. And, you know, I don't get a bill when I show up at my Duford transfer station. Do the citizens of Sandpoint pay a bill? Do they pay for their curbside pickup?
I believe each resident pays $105 solid waste fee every annually.
Mm.
And they receive their solid waste sticker, which allows them to go to the transfer site.
Huh.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY, and we're speaking today with Bob Howard about the county's new single-stream recycling program. We're going to take a short musical break here and listen to a little Blondie. A lot of us, when we think of recycling, we think of glass. And so in honor of that, we're going to play a little bit of Blondie's Harder Glass. And then we'll be back after the break with more time for questions and answers with Bob. If you have a question you'd like to hear answered, some details, text me to 208-946-9127. Blondie with Heart of Glass. And I think she's recycling some chords from some of her previous songs. You're back to 88.5 KRFY, the morning show. We're talking about recycling with Bob Howard from Bonner County and the new single stream recycling facility at the Duford Mall, but more broadly, the topic about waste management as well.
That's right. And that leads me to the question for Bob. During the break, Phil and I both had talked about our questions regarding hazardous waste, because it's quite clear what goes into the tub now, and it's mm-hmm. going to be much simpler. But I find myself wondering, does this battery go? Where does this light bulb go? What am I supposed to do with, you know, my thermometer, et cetera? So let's move on to the hazardous items.
So your smaller batteries, like your flashlight batteries and, you know, batteries from your remote things, they all go into the dumpster. And the automotive batteries go into, they put those in the hazmat home hazardous waste sheds that we provide there at the transfer sites.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so if you're not quite sure, if the battery you look at and go, well, where should I put it? The best thing to do is to put it with the hazardous waste?
You can put it with the hazardous waste, or you can ask the site attendant. The site attendant will give you direction on where those mm-hmm. items should go.
Okay. And what about all those rechargeable batteries? They're not, I can't just throw them, or can I?
Yes.
Oh, I can.
Okay.
All right.
And so the hazardous waste is, I hesitate to call it single stream hazardous waste, but you can bring a box of hazardous waste mm-hmm. down, and the attendant will help sort it out and collect it all in one unit.
Correct. Yeah, we'll put it in the hazardous waste facility, and then when the hazardous waste technician comes to pick up to empty the building, they will separate it and mm-hmm. where it needs to be for transport, and it'll go to Colburn, and then it'll be picked up by another company and taken out of the county.
And so, what about electronic items? We're producing a lot of new waste these days, with cell phones becoming obsolete in 6 months, and if you've got one that's 4 years old, it's almost worthless. How do we handle reusing, repurposing, recycling old electronics like cell phones?
Well, if you have a cell phone that still works and you want to get rid of it, there are programs and companies that will purchase those from you or take them as a donation. That would be my recommendation. Mm-hmm. If you're just going to throw them away, just throw them in the dumpster. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But even back from your emergency management days, even an old cell phone without service can still dial 911 if it's got a charge on it.
Yes. And some of them will dial 911 and they still have the GPS that mm-hmm. activates in within that device. Mm-hmm. So that's always good. I know, I believe our victim advocate program, they collect the old cell phones and give them out. So they have, folks have emergency 911 capability.
What about larger items, televisions? I know there's special processes for televisions in place. How's that going? How's that currently?
So there's a separate location where you put, we call it e-waste, mm-hmm. and it's TVs, computer monitors, mm-hmm. things of that nature. There's a separate location. We put those at the site, and we have a company, they come around and they pick those up.
Mm-hmm. I hate to say some of them look better than my current technology. Sad, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know, if it's just not quite right for you, you can put it in the Duford Mall and someone will pick it up if it's just old.
Very true. And it'll have a chance for a new life.
Have a chance for a new life. Now, if it's a bigger appliance and it's just mechanically not reliable anymore, I'm thinking a washing machine or something like that, that comes into the steel recycling program you were talking about.
Correct. And then we have a separate location for those at each transfer site also. So you can put them in one place and your e-waste in another place. And mm-hmm. it's just a matter of separating out the items.
What about things like our newer technology light bulbs? Where do those end up? Don't they go in the hazardous waste department, like the
LED lights?
Yes, LED right. lights, yes.
Because they have mercury in them.
Yeah.
So right. they need to go to hazardous waste.
Yes.
Yes, they do.
And again, if we were talking on the break, if you're not sure, take it to the hazmat specialist and let them help decide.
Yep. Or the site attendant. Site attendant will be there. So they have the answers.
So really, as you were saying during the break, Bob, if you're not sure, put it all in that separate bag or separate box, whatever you use, and bring it in. And we can always put it in the dumpster, but let's be mm-hmm. careful rather than
Absolutely.
The other way.
So we have another texted question. This may be a bit early in evaluating the program, but, you know, let's put it out there. Does the state have state? This is a county program so far, but we want to shift and talk about the state in a moment. Does the state have a long-term plan for using or recycling the waste to produce energy, something currently done in Europe?
Oh, to make energy out of some of our waste?
I think that's more of a waste rather than recycling. I know there's some places that have energy-producing mm-hmm. plants that burn garbage.
So statewide, or the state itself, I'm not aware of that. However, the wood products that we collect, we take those to three different locations in our county. And we have that ground up into what they call hog fuel, and it's transported out of the county, and I believe it goes down to the University of Idaho because they have a physical plant that burns hog fuel. So it goes down, it's repurposed to hog fuel for energy for those facilities that have that capability.
Tell me a little more about hog fuel. What does that mean?
It's just ground up wood products, and it's
Yeah, some of our local mills, lumber mills, do the same thing. Everything comes in, gets used, and the finer ground material gets put into an electric generating facility, and so nothing comes out, not even sawdust.
Okay, so it isn't actually really anything to do with hogs.
It doesn't have actually to do with anything 4-H.
Very good.
Yeah, it's just the name. It's been with that product forever.
So we were talking also on the break, and I think people would find this of great interest. Run down the numbers for us. How much waste does Bonner County produce, and what does that look like on a total tonnage and a per-resident basis, and how's that compared to Idaho and the nation?
So Bonner County, on the average, ships approximately 34,000 tons per year of trash to Columbia Ridge, the landfill.
So we're about 40,000 residents. Somebody with finer math skills or a calculator would need to figure out how much tonnage per resident per year and break that down into days. But I think it's less than the state average.
So the state average is 4.4 pounds per person that is
per day.
Per day that we create in the state of Idaho, which we are the lowest in the United States for that.
We're the lowest trash producer in the country.
Per person.
Per person.
4.4 pounds per day.
And that's the lowest. Yeah. I wonder why that is. Have you thought about why we're the lowest?
I thought about it, but I can't figure out why.
I think, you know, there's probably a study in there for a doctoral thesis, but I think a lot of the variable, I think, has to do with how much packaging people buy and, you know, where we buy our products and whether we get them in bulk. And I suppose part of that, too, is how many people compost. And I think that's an individual thing here, but we have a real active community with compost. I know in some communities now they're encouraging some cities compostable units. That's probably down the road for Bonner County, and maybe that a lot of people do that individually.
Right.
Right. And, you know, a question that I had was, how do we help people understand how to produce less trash? We're already obviously on the low side in the country, but a goal would be to produce almost no trash if we could do it. Does the county work on educating folks about creating less trash?
We have not reached that point at this time. That's something down the road.
Mm-hmm.
We've been, like I said, been in this position since March, so trying to prioritize and take on the projects that are most important first.
Sure, and you got the single stream recycling the moment you stepped into the job, and onto new projects after this.
So we know it's a pilot program, and it's obviously being evaluated. Is it too early to speculate about whether or not there might be other locations in Bonner County, other facilities in the future?
It's too early at this point. We need to figure out, you know, because to transport it from another facility to Colburn is another additional cost for transport. So that would increase my cost to waste management. So I don't want to overcommit based on our budget. And we want to make sure that we're getting a cost benefit for what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure. And it doesn't look like it was, it looked like it was not an inexpensive change to move the entire Dufort facility and sort of change out the way everyone drops things off. Do you have a figure for how much it costs to build the new facility? Oops, I think I might have.
I wasn't in on the original design and of the facility. I'm thinking it was around $500,000 or $600,000.
Mm-hmm.
To do that.
So there's a startup cost and then an ongoing cost too. The startup cost is going to be amortized over a certain number of years.
Sure.
And
of course, construction costs are the big one-time cost to redesign a site.
And it really is a lovely redesign for those of you who haven't been down there. It's much easier to drop things off and it seems cleaner. And actually the working conditions for the employees seem better. So really an improvement.
So will there be on-site education for people that come down and they just haven't gotten the idea yet that it's available? And so you see them putting stuff into the big garbage bins that could be recycled. How are you going to educate them without being bossy about it?
Well, of course, on our grand opening day, we had Waste Management Idaho. They were there. They had a little pop-up booth set up, and it was an educational day. And we still hand out these recycle flyers every day to everyone. So most of the reoccurring customers have the information that they need to recycle. It's their choice from that point.
It is optional, though, but I'm guessing, because I'll look at what's going into the dumpsters that are trash from time to time. You know, you can't help when you're dropping off your garbage, and I will see things that I know would have been recyclable, and they're not always in the recyclable area yet.
Correct.
So not mandatory. It's just a process that we're working on.
Yeah. It's recommended.
Yeah.
So is there an opportunity for folks who are engaging in this, and they might have ideas or questions or suggestions? Are you able to get feedback or respond to questions? What's the best way?
So you can email solidwaste@bonnercountyid.gov. That's a website. It's an email that's on our website. So that's for any person that has a question or a comment. Feel free to send an email to that address, and we'll respond.
We need to get you a catchy URL like Ask the Garbage Man.
Bob, have you received or are you looking for community input? Are there like meetings to talk about the waste, or is that not really part of the protocol?
We haven't had meetings to talk about it. Of course, you're always welcome to attend a county commissioner's meeting if you have questions or concerns about the program, or just give us a call on the phone.
Oh, you know, Phil, something that I forgot to ask earlier, and I know we're stepping back a bit for me to ask this question, Bob, but how did you determine that the Dufert site should be the first site?
Well, it was, again, you know, we had new county commissioners this year, and I came into the program in March, and the commissioners had the desire to look into a recycling program. So I did the research and came up with this pilot program so we could at least see what it's going to look like. So that's how it started. So in the opening of the new Dufert site, because the Dufert site's one of the busiest sites in the county.
Okay.
As far as volume, we figure it's a new site, it's bigger. We have the room to separate the containers, the larger containers. So we figured that would be the best place to do this.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's all hope that it works well.
Seems to be. As Bob was mentioning, it's an easier system, and I would really like to just encourage everyone to do it, because in the past, before, as you mentioned before, you're sorting out your cardboard, you're sorting out this and that, and sometimes you just think, oh gosh, do I have the energy to do all this at the moment? But it really is much easier, so I would like to encourage everyone to give it a shot. It's a much better system for us all.
Well, we're running out of time for this segment. We're going to do a little bit of community calendar and weather when we come back. We'll take a song break. Bob, any last-minute bits of advice or thoughts for folks about the recycling program?
No, I just encourage people to participate. In my emergency management hat, real quick, on September 9th at the Bonner County Fairgrounds, we're going to have the Preparedness Expo for the community. So, we encourage people to come and attend. We have speakers and vendors and educational opportunities.
Another very important aspect of the county and community service. So I will do my best to attend that. I don't really know what to do if there's a big emergency.
Well, you're welcome to come back anytime if you want to talk about emergency management or any of the programs going on. We should give a bit of advice for folks who are out next Monday, looking up at the sky. No, the moon is not gobbling up the sun, and that's not an emergency that we need to prepare for, other than perhaps eclipse glasses if you want to look directly at it.
Yes, don't look at the sun, everybody.
But don't freak out either.
All right. Okay.
Well, we're going to take a break here and listen to a little bit of Sanford Townsend Band. For some reason, their song, Smoke from a Distant Fire, seems appropriate for the season. And then we'll be back with a little bit of... Wow, the Sanford Townsend Band, Smoke from a Distant Fire. And some of the fires aren't so distant, and the smoke was on reprieve for about a day and a half, and now it's coming back in, and boy, my eyes feel it.
It sure is, and it was a little smoky in Yosemite, and it was a little bit smoky driving north back into Idaho, but not as bad as some years.
And while you were gone, the weather forecast was all about smoke forecast, smoke and haze, but right now, it's not in the forecast. I think it's just a given. Today, we're supposed to be sunny with a high of 81 degrees. Tonight, a low of 51, so we're getting back into cooler nights and slightly warmer days, but not the 90-degree heat. Tomorrow's about the same. In fact, it's 81 for a high and 52 for a low, and that continues on through Thursday and Friday, and we just see mostly sunny weather. It's not calling for smoke and haze, but I think it's going to be there.
Mm-hmm. But so nice to be back to our typical Idaho summer weather, not quite so hot.
It is. So we're going to talk a little bit about upcoming morning shows. If you're a fan of the morning show, you'll want to tune in tomorrow morning. That's Wednesday. And join hosts Chris Bessler, his guest, Trish Gannon, who is founder of the River Journal. If you've lived here for any longer than a week or two, you've probably picked up and read a copy of the River Journal. And if you picked up August's edition, you'll know that it was the last one after 20-some-odd years, 25 years. So come listen to the final bow out as Chris interviews Trish Gannon tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on 88.5 KRFY. Thursday morning, you can join morning show hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson, and they'll be talking about Panhandle Community Radio. I'm not quite sure exactly who the guests are, but they always come up with some good ones. And then next week, Julie, we're back on the 22nd, and our guest will be Lieutenant Ed Joaquim from the Marine Division of the Bonner County Sheriff's Department. I think we're on the roll with county folks.
Yes, he goes by, he pronounces his name Joachim, and I met him out at Garfield, I met his staff at Garfield Bay and wanted to know more about what they did because they were busy doing something with the Marine Sheriff Department. So I think that'll be an interesting.
So this will be a general overview.
I think so, and hopefully a few interesting anecdotes, but I guess they can't tell us too many.
Well, lots of fun stuff going on in town. August is always busy. We just passed through the busiest weekend of the year, the last weekend with the festival, the Bonner County Fair, the arts tour, the art and craft fair. It was just zany. I can understand why you're out of town hiking.
It sure was a busy week. I look back and looked at how much I had missed. But you know what? There's still plenty coming up, Phil, and I'll talk about some of those things. We're running a bit short on time, but I'll get as many in as possible. Tomorrow on the 16th, we have the Idaho Trail Association Pint Night. That's at Idaho Poor Authority, 203 Cedar Street. They're hosting the Idaho Trail Association. Drink a beer, support Idaho Trails, and it'll be at 5 p.m. tomorrow. After that, we have on the 17th and the 18th and the 20th, Neither Wolf Nor Dog, that's a new Native American feature film based on the best-selling novel by Kent Nerburn, and that will be screened in the Panada, 300 First Avenue North. Showtimes are 7:30 p.m. On the 17th, and then 5:30 p.m. on the 18th and 3:30 on the 20th. It's been garnering excellent reviews.
So we are about out of time, and we're going to take you out with a two-song set, double, because we could not decide which song was more appropriate for the day. We'll let you listen and make your own decision. First up is Randy Newman with Political Science, and then we're going to hear Bonnie Tyler, Total Eclipse of the Heart, and that's it until next Tuesday.
That's right. Now, don't miss the eclipse, everyone, but don't look at the sun either.